Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Yo, yo, back in the building, man. We are back in the building. What, B, what day is it? Tell me what day it is.
It's Thursday, baby.
It's Thursday. We out here. You know the voice. You know the hairline. You know it's me. It's Mari. You heard that voice right there. It's B. You know I'm in the building with her. What's going on?
What's up, Queen B from the South, baby? Watch your mouth. We
watch
out
your
here.
Damn mouth, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what else you need to watch? Watch social media. We on there. See us. You can holler at us. You know what I mean? You can follow us on Twitter at Slick Sports, S-L-I-C. Follow us at The Society Pod. Head on over to Instagram. Follow us at Slick, just S-L-I-C, The Society Podcast. We over there. We got the videos. We got the footage. We are out here. You know what I mean? Holler at us and all that, you know. We in the building.
That's right.
We talked about this the last time. You know that beat battle is coming. August 20th, man. It's going to be LA versus New York. Like I said, usually they do the basketball shit. Now they doing it on the beach. They trying to see what's up. You know, who got it on the up-and-coming tip. They got money on the line. All that. So the stakes is very, very high. You feel me? Shout out to Poobs. Shout out to D-Block and all that. Gang, gang. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you know, we here. We back in the building, man. How you feeling? What's going on?
I'm feeling all right. You know what? I actually wanted to jump right into our five under five.
Let's do it.
Because, you know, speaking of being in the building, we got a legend that's leaving the building.
Oh, man, do we? Oh.
Yo, Serena Williams has announced her retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching her in 1998-99 thinking like, wow, this is like, she's incredible. Her and, of course, Venus. But for some reason, I always took to Serena. I think because she had just like a different build. And I knew even back then, with me being like tall and slim, I knew people would take to Venus because she looks like an athlete. But then you have Serena come in and she's, you know, she's thick and she got the shape and the outfits and everything that she's wearing and the beads. And, you know, I think people just didn't really take her seriously until she came through and was like, no, I'm a force in this.
Yeah.
To see, you know, this 20 plus year career coming to an end, you know, it's bittersweet. And, you know, she released this as an article in Vogue, which is like kind of like some dope shit to be like, hey, y'all, Vogue.com, here's my article about how I'm leaving the game.
yeah, that's ill. That's super ill.
But she said that her daughter, Olympia, which is a fire name, by the way.
Super hard name. Yeah.
That's fire. Her daughter has been like praying and wishing for a little sister. And, you know, I mean,
the plot thickens.
She made a reference in this article, and I want to read something real quick because, my goodness, I think people really forget how Serena is that girl. She said, believe me, I've never wanted to have to choose between tennis and a family. I don't think it's fair. If I were a guy, I wouldn't be writing this because I'd be out there playing and winning while my wife is doing the physical labor of expanding our family. Maybe I'd be more of a Tom Brady if I had that opportunity. Tom Brady, like for like real, because he's up there.
Tom Brady's 52 years old and he's still out here. Like
he's killing it. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Serena would have been doing the same. I mean, she even was winning while she was pregnant. You know, unbeknownst to us, we didn't know she was pregnant, but she's out here like winning. Yeah. So, you know, if she didn't have to like, you know, put everything on hold.
Paul Pierce left a game because he had the shit, and Serena was winning when she was pregnant. So let's just be real here. Let's understand what we're talking about here, people. We talking about levels. Like there's fucking levels to this shit. Like seriously, is.
Yeah.
I think that was a very great point to make right there. Like I really do. It's important to say that because it's like, just because of who I am, like I'm a woman. I have to cut my shit short if I want to do this. I got to make a decision. Whereas like a man would be like, nah, I'm gonna just do whatever. Like I get to do me. But just to speak on her career, you know, I probably spoke about this on the show before, but my pops used to watch all sports, you know what I mean? With the exception of maybe like soccer, like I said, but tennis was one of those things. Andre Agassi was that dude in my house, you know what I mean? You couldn't say nothing about Agassi. But Serena and Venus, family time, we would be gathered around the TV watching them, no matter what, you know, every single time. And to see Serena's career go to where she's won 23 Grand Slams, been in 33, it's not so much of the wins, I think, that magnify the greatness. It's the public reaction to the losses with the great players. When you see the greats lose, you know they're great because the public reaction is usually like, wait a minute, they can bleed? Shit. Like, because they're so, they've ascended and they've got to another level. So with her, when she won, it was almost expected. Like, yeah, I knew she was going to win. That's Serena. Like, of course she's going to win. But it wasn't until the losses when people was like, oh, shit. Like, that's when it started to be, you know, people started to look at it a little different, like, oh, shit. And I think that's a credit to her, not something
absolutely
to shit on her, you know, about, because she's been in there 33 times. You would be blessed to be anywhere 33 times competing at the highest level, and let alone to walk away with 23 of them things. Like, so shout out to Serena, man. I hope that retirement is good to her. I hope, you know, that whatever she wants to accomplish family-wise and, you know, for her daughter want a little sibling, hey, you know, hey, if it's in the cards for you, do your thing. Congratulations. But I'm just happy to see I'm just happy to see the people really give Serena her credit. You know what I mean? Like, really look at her and say, nah, she's one of the greatest athletes ever. We're not just talking about female athletes or tennis players. We're talking about athletes, period. Ever. She's one of them. Yes. You know, for real.
She is one of them.
Yeah.
So last episode, we were talking about industry stuff and about being fake versus doing business.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about code switching. And then you also made a statement about getting out of your own way.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out to everybody who tunes into our episodes and they have like follow-up questions or statements or comments or whatever. You guys really inspire us to talk about, like, you know, more things and go, you know, in depth with these things. But so basically what it is like when I say get out your own way, let's say naturally you're a person who takes 2 or 3 days to text somebody back, right? You saw the text and you're like, oh, I'll get back to them and shit get in the way. You may have to step over that hurdle if, you know, if you're working in that environment where emails are, you know, important. And it's like, you might have to send an email like right now. I know you may not, it just may be in your character to just like put that aside for a couple hours. But if you put it aside a couple hours, but it's like that, like things like that, you'll have to get out of your own way and be like, you know what? Let me be the work version of me right now. And let me send that email like right now instead of like, you know, an email that you can send, not something you're forcing yourself like, oh, I don't have the answers. I got to whatever. But like things like that, little things like that, it's little hurdles where it's like you might be lax on it any other time. But this time you might have to do it. Also, getting out of your own way means you got to understand that like these people, they may present themselves to you as like friends and this camaraderie and all of that. You might be a person who really cares. You might come from a real place where things like friends and family and brotherhood is a real thing. They don't operate by those same rules. So you got to understand, like, don't take the shit that they're doing personal and don't let it affect the work as a result of it. Because where we come from, imagine I sell white t-shirts, right? And the homies know I sell white t-shirts.
Yeah,
for the sake of the argument, let's call them t-shirts. And then the homies, you know, they like, yeah, we about to go to Foot Locker. And they like, nah. My man got the best white t-shirts in the, we talking about t-shirts here. My man got the best white shirts in the, you know, whatever. You need to go get it from him. You expect that from dudes in your neighborhood, dudes that's, you know, you built a brotherhood with. These dudes that's in the industry with you ain't going to do that. Every time you put a project out or you got something you working on, you can't look to them to retweet your shit and post it and comment and do it. Even though you might do it for them, you got to look at this shit and treat it like what it is. You got to look at it for just what it is and leave it there because, and this is for your sake. You're not doing anything wrong. You come from a real environment. You love hard. You really care when you say shit, you mean it. They don't, but you got to understand that. So you got to get out your own way there and say, you know what? Let me go into this shit not expecting for them to repost my shit, for them to send this to somebody else and let people, you know what I mean?
I can absolutely agree with this because I go through it with Bikini Honey. I remember when I was telling, you know, select few people like, hey, I'm starting this bikini line. You know, people that I knew would hold me accountable and like, yo, remember you said you was doing this and making sure that I actually follow through with what I want to do. And once it was launched and up, I wasn't looking for these people to support me. I was more so surprised when people were like posting my stuff on their Instagram stories and sharing it and sending it out and recommending me in comments. And, you know, like the way that people would show support honestly surprised me. I didn't like put this on people to do. But I think that came from experience and working in other industries. Like you're not going to always get the support from the people you think are really going to support you.
Exactly.
So going into Bikini Honey and launching this, I just really sat back and allow people to do it organically. I wasn't out here like, yo, share this, you know, make sure you support, you know, if you're looking for something. Like I didn't go out about it that way. I kind of like stepped back and got out of my own way, because if I were to go about it a different way and try to, you know, force this onto people, I would seriously be disappointed when people weren't going to react the way or support the way that I wanted them to.
And that's exactly what it all boils down to. What 50 said, you know, these industry niggas ain't friends. They know how to pretend. 50 Cent comes from the ghetto, the hood, where most of the people come from, right? He understands, like, they're not my friends. They know how to play the role. So let me play the role with them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're being fake, but there's another, like, there's layers to who you are as a person. You can tap into the, we've all had to do a couple fake laughs here and there, the Chris Paul show, where it's like, walk away like
that.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can look at it and be like, well, that's fake. Or you can look at it and say, And this is an excellent, like, we'll talk about this later when I talk about Rapture, right? Rapture episode 4. There was something in there that made me think about this as well. But it's like, sometimes you got to play the game a little bit. And again, there's variations to what people mean by playing the game. Like, if you completely losing who you are as a person and losing your goal, then the game is playing you. But when you understand where you're trying to go, and you know that, like, okay, in order to get over there, I got to do this, right? Like, cool. You know, so you, like I said, there's levels to it. You want to drink in the club, you got to get a wristband. You might be a nigga that don't like wristbands. But you know, if you want to get that drink, you got to get a wristband. Let's do it. You got to do it. You know, it is what it is.
I was thinking that was so funny because I've been around people who are like, you know, consider themselves celebrities or famous or popular or whatever. And we'll go out and I can't say any names, but there was this actress. There's this actress who was like doing her thing out here. Mm-hmm. She came out for a birthday party and here I am in Vegas. You know, everyone's flying to Vegas, so I got to handle this group. And yo, when we had to wait in line to get our IDs checked, she looked like, what the fuck? Like, why you need to check my ID? And I'm like,
I'm me.
We're in, like I understand that you're, you know, popular, maybe wherever though. You are doing your thing. But here, this is what you have to do to get in the club. Period. See? They don't care who you are. Michael Jordan can pull up. They're going to check his ID and everybody who's with him. So, like, sorry, sis. Pull that ID out. Let's go.
That's what I'm saying, man.
It's just so funny that a lot of people just feel like they should be omitted from the process. Everybody has to go through the process. You can't skip the shit.
You can't cheat the grind, my nigga, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You gotta dang exactly little this shit up. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But that's really what I wanted to say about it. Like I said, I had some people reach out and they kind of wanted, like, just like some examples and, you know, just like to kind of speak on it a little bit more. But that's kind of what I mean. Like I said, get out your own way. Leave that mentality where it is and handle business as business is being handled, as they say. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to lose yourself in that. But I understand that it does get hard. It gets challenging. It gets tough. And some people end up lost in that shit. But remain focused on your goals. Yeah, remain focused on your goals. Understand who you are. Never lose that part. Like, know who you are when you're going into this shit.
You know who else needs to get out the way? Party.
Oh, my God, man.
Can we talk about Party?
This fucking guy, man. Can we? Yes. Yes. Hell yeah. I've been waiting to talk about this. You know why? You know why? Because we talk a lot about having your first baddie and having baddies. And do you know what comes with having this person? Men and women.
Yes.
When you're someone who's, you're dating the premier entertainer, the superstar of the moment, the biggest shit popping right now in her era and what she does, you have to understand, bro, if you read every comment, you're going to drive yourself insane. If you watch every interview where they ask men and women about her, they're going to say things about her and they're going to say how attractive she is. You know how fine she is. Mm-hmm. The world gets to see it. And guess who's in this world? The Rock, the biggest star on the fucking planet.
Yes.
So when he says something like he would be her dog.
Here, I'll play it.
Let's do that.
Because I follow The Rock. I was scrolling. I saw this clip and I thought it was fucking hilarious. And then later I see what Party had to say. But I need people to hear it for context.
What celebrity would you want to be a pet to?
Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, that's a good one. Why Megan Thee Stallion?
Well, we don't have to talk about that. Okay?
And that's it.
Listen.
That was it.
Listen, number one, The Rock is a very classy guy. He's always been the like, I want to say, like, the bar of excellence. Even, like, when I was a little kid, when I was 10, 11 years old, he was the most electrifying athlete on the fucking planet. Bar none. He's still that same guy, just doing a different thing in his life right now. So, in that moment when he says that, right, one, you got to know, he's sitting there with Kevin Hart. He's in a comfortable setting with one of his friends who's also funny as hell. And when he said that, it's just like, yeah, like, he said, man, we ain't got to talk about, like, it's funny. For me,
and
good.
And they're promoting a movie.
Right. Okay,
which is very important here, where they are pets. He's playing the pet of Superman, a superhero. Hello? Okay. This is very important in this entire context. Go ahead, Mari. Sorry.
What Herm Edwards said? Hello? You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, it's literally about pets. So that's why the question was asked. And when he said Meg, number one, the first thing the Party should have thought was like, ooh, the price just went up again. Yeah, I thought it couldn't get no better. The price just went up again because there's, you know, believe it or not, as big as Meg is, there's more people who know who The Rock is than they know who Meg is. So when The Rock gets on these platforms and this audience is expanded and he says Meg's name, there's people that's like, Meg, let me look up. Let me see. Oh, shit. I like her too now. Now she inherits some of that. You know what I mean? She gets some of that with her. As her man and you're in the industry, if you want to make a comment on it, and I'm not telling anybody out there to like, if a dude is out here all on your girl, you need to embrace. He didn't even say nothing crazy. He said exactly what you would expect a celebrity to say. All you had to do if you was party, retweet that and be like, oh, the job already taken, bro, with some laughing emojis or whatever, right? Cool, yeah. You in on the joke. Maybe the next time The Rock is in town, man, he invites you out to have a cigar with him because he like, you know what, bro? You took that joke good, man. Most niggas would have been insecure. I like that about you. I fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you could have established something there.
I need to read what Party commented under this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which was the craziest shit. He said, all our dogs is named after numbers. Just teach your wife to use seasoning. You'll be all right. Moana is the shit, though. I read this and my face like balled up. Like, nigga, what? Like, how did we get here? If anything, The Rock is basically calling Meg a superhero.
1,000%.
Like, how are 1,000%. We missing that whole thing? And at what point did he feel like it was okay for him to have feminists tattooed on his fucking stomach, Party, to go out here and make a comment about The Rock's wife and her cooking and using seasoning? What?
And see, I'm not with any of that because none. Like, I know how I feel about my family. Come
so
on, like.
Party came out and tweeted like, oh, you know, I woke up and I saw, you know, that Twitter was chaotic and my mentions in shambles and yada yada, and pretty much tried to say, you know, I was just joking. My nigga, no, you took this shit to the heart. And everybody clowning you. Everybody like, calling you lame, and now you have to pull it back. You got to reel it in. No, my guy, like that was whack. Here's my thing. I have this theory that I don't care how much money a guy makes. If he has a woman who is like, you know, she's beautiful, she has a name for herself, she's popular, I feel like there are men who date these type of women and they become really insecure that maybe another man with more money and more success can come in and like swoop his girl up.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm starting to think like this might be the case here. That he might feel threatened that The Rock could pull his chick. Or maybe, we don't even know. Maybe The Rock slid in her DMs and he just like, man, it's crazy.
I'm going to tell you like this. I'm going to tell you like this. I'm not saying that, you know, The Rock is trying to fuck your girl. This is to anybody. I'm just saying that the chances of The Rock fucking your girl are dramatically higher than like, Dwayne Johnson is going to probably fuck your girl quicker than like Dwayne from The Office. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, when you react like this, you'll make a nigga who wasn't on her bumper like that pull up on her bumper and be like, all right, then, cool.
Yeah.
Let me do, like, if he was a single guy, I think he would have been like, okay.
Yeah.
Like Drake did a couple months ago with homie. You make a comment about my son? All right, but let me give me your girl real quick. Let me see how you like this shit. Stop playing with me.
Let me go to your page and see what's going on over
because
here.
Because you know how quick this shit can happen? You know how quick this shit can happen where I can tell your wife or your girl, your lady, your interest and say, hey, why don't you come fly to me real quick? Send me your name and your birthday and come fly to me real quick. I'll fly you out. I'll get you a Jeep when you go back home too. He had America in the palm of his fucking, in this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just what it is. Like, I just didn't. You know what I'm saying?
You already got the eyebrow. You got the eyebrow.
It's already up there.
Bump
it's already up. Yes. Come on now. Like, it's already up, man. But yeah, I just didn't like the response because it wasn't good. Fuck even it how where it came from. It just wasn't good. Like he said that and then he ended it like, oh yeah, but my, like, bro, it wasn't even good. If you're gonna say some shit and be feeling, you know, come from some type of way, like at least make it be good. At least make the comment be good. Come on, my nigga.
Like, be funny. Gross. Yeah, no. I mean, he easily could have, like, photoshopped The Rock's head on his dog's head.
Yeah, like, you know, newest addition to the, yeah, like, just something. That's what I mean. Like, come on, bro. It's not hard, bro. Like, come on.
It's not. But, you know, Megan was already in the news and popping when this interview came out. She was just a guest star on an episode of P-Valley, which was P-Valley, incredible.
That was a great episode,
too.
Yeah, man. Ooh. She did her thing on that one, too. That was good. Yeah. That was real good. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
She made a really dope special appearance as Tina Snow. And this is the Megan that I fell in love with. Like, Tina Snow is different from, like, the Megan that you see.
Yeah, she's
Tina
talking
Snow
that shit.
Isn't... She isn't mainstream. She's not. Tina Snow doesn't do songs with Dua Lipa. That's Meg Thee Stallion. That's that's a different
for
like alter ego. But it was really dope to see her performing with Lil Murda or Big Murda. You know they call
Big Murda. Yeah, shout out to Big Murda, man. Hey, that nigga, yo, that nigga Murda on some shit, man. He really is. He didn't shot my man with the shit they was shooting Dick Tracy with and all that. You know what I'm saying? Like he got some shit with him, man. one of them Acme guns and all that. You know what I mean? The shit with the, you know what I mean? Yeah, he was on some shit, man. Word.
So there's one thing that I don't think people are talking about enough with this season of P-Valley, and I just want to give Katori Hall her flowers for the way that she is showcasing like the different levels of sex work. And I know it makes a lot of people uncomfortable talking about women doing sex work. And when they think of sex work, they just pretty much thinking, they think about selling your body for money, prostitution, or I don't even think a lot of people consider stripping as sex work. It's like, it's light sex work.
Yeah, it's sex work adjacent. Yeah, absolutely.
You're playing off fantasies and everything like that.
Yeah.
But like, so we learned that Lil Murda, when he was younger, he used to have sex for money with men. Also, Mercedes and, you know, the whole storyline with Mercedes and Coach and his wife. You know,
his wife,
she's signing NDAs and coming in, you know, giving the Mercedes experience.
Absolutely.
And that's sex work. Also with Uncle Cliff and Corbin Kyle, how he went into the room this episode and he wanted to get, like, whipped in the back. That was, you know, taken from from season one where, you know, we didn't know. We just thought, like, maybe this is like a white guy with a like a slave type of role reversal fantasy. And then we realized, like, oh, you know, it's more of a complex fetish or kink or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely. Yep.
And we also have Roulette.
Roulette,
who is a man, look. She is a complex
character.
She is so dope. This is one of the best additions to a TV series that I've ever seen. Like, adding her has made this show go up.
And you know what's crazy? That isn't always promised. Even though she was great on Snowfall.
Yeah.
As Wanda, right? Fun fact, my wife went to school with her. Like, I found that out when we watched Snowfall. My wife was like, oh, shit. Like, that's, you know, she, you know, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't always work where you add a character like that to a show that's so far along, and then they fit in seamlessly. Like, so I have to take my hat off to her, number one, because she came in and made a name for herself immediately, and she's not necessarily a protagonist, because the characters that we fell in love with for all these episodes, she's kind of like, shit, I don't give a fuck, like, I'm me. And it's like, she's forcing us to kind of be like, well, shit, she got a point. Like, I get it, you know? So I have to tip my hat to her because, man, she's doing a phenomenal job of this role, really.
Yeah, like, we were introduced to her. She came in, auditioned for The Pink, came in, killed it. So, one, she's a talented dancer. She gets up there and she's doing her motherfucking thing.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
yeah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
And then we also see that, you know, she's, you know, doing a little special things that she's not supposed to. She's breaking Uncle Clifford's rules in the VIP room. And, you know, she got dubbed, you know, dick sucking lips or whatever the fuck. Oh, so... So we see that side of the sex work with Roulette, yeah. But then we also see her low-key being a pimp. Like, she's, like, recruiting girls to, you know, to go out here and make that money. And that scene, previous episode where, you know, she had Whisper hooking up with this guy, he just really wanted to just eat her out or whatever. And when he decided to not complete the deal, she took matters into her own hands, was ready to kill this nigga for whatever she wanted, stole the car... All that, like, she humiliated this man.
She went crazy. She went crazy on that.
She went crazy, and so
I respect that.
But I like seeing all these different sides of what sex work is, and then, you know, the opening of this episode, we see Andre with strippers dancing around him while he's you know sitting in the chair, like
he's being embraced by the, absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, that was a play off of election season back in 2020 to get your ass to the polls. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And again, shout out to Katori Hall for being tapped in with what's really happening in our culture and putting it into the TV show. But
I like that. I like that a lot.
That's Autumn using her sexual influence to be like, hey, you know what? Go out here and just embrace who you really are. You be coming down to the pink. That's how I met you. So, like, don't sit here and try to be this goody two-shoes, this Obama, this fake Obama, as Clifford called him. Like, be real.
Yeah, and then we get
Mercedes' mama, Patrice Woodbine, coming down on the pole on a truck, making it rain.
Hey, hear me and hear me good. Woo. Nah, when I seen that, I said, wait a minute. Because, she all right. I'm going to leave it there. She all right. Late night, 12:38 a.m. And then, know what I mean? She hit you and she with you. Yeah, I'm going. I do want to say one of my favorite scenes from this was Shorty who, I name escapes me right now, but Shorty who got like tossed out, right, for the COVID cough and all that. And
right,
she runs into Roulette back there, and it's like, yo, look, she telling her all her problems. Yo, this coming up, this coming up. I need money for that. She threw her the money. She said, yo, that's not a loan. You know what I mean? So it just shows you how quick you can get into the sex work game and why. Like, your circumstances could change at any minute. So it's not like when you look at these women who are involved in sex work, you don't have the right to judge anyway. But like, if you see why they did it, why they got into it, you probably take a step back and be like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Because
how else was she going to get that money? There was no other way for her to get that money.
It's humanizing these women. It's showing all 100%. Levels and the complexities of sex work. It's like, she's already probably being condemned for being a stripper. And now here she can't go out here and perform and make money, you know, to keep herself from being evicted, to keep her lights on. And it's just like, what do I do? Do I just go home and just get evicted, or do I accept
the stack?
It's a hell of a
fork in the road.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck do I do? So
yeah,
shout out to P Valley for just like opening up for this conversation to even be had. And absolutely, it's honestly the best show that I've seen attack these type of issues and to put it up on this type of stage, especially to an audience that can be extremely judgmental on women in these predicaments.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they're doing a great job this season. So the episode was great. Shout out to them.
Yes, and I just want to say this. Not enough people are talking about Rap Shit For Me. This is honestly one of the funniest fucking shows I have ever
seen. It's one of the best
shows
out right now, period. Like, it's up there.
Yeah. Period. And I'm asking my friends, like, yo, y'all, are you guys watching Rap Shit? And no one's saying anything. Like, I probably have like two friends that are watching Rap Shit.
Damn,
I don't have anyone to really talk about the show with besides like coming on here and talking about it with you, because you're into rap and all this stuff.
It's funny you say that too, because like, I have homeboys who none of them have said anything about the show yet. Like, nobody has said anything about it. So it's funny that you say that, because like, you're probably the only other person you are the only other person I'll talk to about this show.
Like,
and I love this show.
What do you think it is? Because I have a bunch of friends in the music industry. They love rap and hip hop. But what is it that people are just like, nah, I'm cool on watching that?
It's women. It's women. People don't like women. We talk about this before. They don't like women. They like sex from women and the titties and the ass and the, you know, all of that. Like, and that's cool, because cool. But they don't like they don't want to, you know, I guarantee you this, if Rap Shit was a story about two dudes and, you know, the struggle of getting on and this and that, this should be the biggest shit ever. Like, everybody would be talking about it. You know what I'm saying? But so as women, it all comes down to that. And I'm not even trying to sound like, oh, you know, it's one of them. Like, no, but that's what it is. Because what else can you say? The soundtrack is great. The actors are great. The storyline is great. The writing is great. The cinematography is great.
Yeah.
Like, what is the... Because it's women, I'm telling you. Like, there's a handful of niggas on the show, but it's all women. And even Insecure wasn't all women. It was, you know, you got Lawrence. You got that. That's why people could fuck with it. This time, you seeing it. I think that's exactly what it is. If you ask me, that's
and
what
you
it
know,
is.
I was thinking about, like, man, I really thought Insecure was super relatable for me. But Rap Shit, and I'm not out here trying to be a rapper. I'm not. However, it's something about this show that is way more relatable.
It's specific.
Than Insecure.
It's very specific. Insecure was relatable, but relatable in more of a blanket way for everybody.
Yeah, it was broad.
This is
very
specific to if you're a creator, a hustler, a grinder. It's very specific. Like, it really is. And one of the scenes that kind of brought that home for me was, like, I want to say maybe it was like the last scene of the episode where you got the Duke changing, you know, like, she had like slept in the car basically, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, Chastity. She's up early, and then she takes off one black tee, goes to the trunk, puts on another black tee. Now, white tees, but white tees were like the hustler attire, right? Hustler, you know, whatever. Black tees, which Gucci Mane made a song about, you know, later, that's how I kind of got the grimy connotation, because like, that's for the grinders, that's for the survivors, not just a hustler, like a survivor. You see this episode, you see, and I think Issa did this on purpose. I do. I think this is all intentional. Because you see Chastity, like, she, the whole episode, she's on some shit. Oh, that's the nigga that, yeah, let me pull up on him. She gave her homegirl a gun. Hold this down in case somebody come through. I got this. I need to go figure this out.
Called her James St. Patrick.
You know what I'm saying?
She was like,
where did James St. Patrick go? Yeah, that was crazy. The Molly start kicking in for all the girls in the car. That was an ill scene. You know what I mean? But back to that scene right there. Like, mm-hmm. I thought that was a very great writing on her part to, like, the black tee, changing out the trunk, the early morning grind. She just had spent her last the night before. So she's really a survivor. She's really understanding, like, what it takes, the sacrifices you have to make to, like, get on and look like you got it. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was great. I thought that was amazing.
Yo, it's like, I think with this show being based in the South, a lot of the things that are happening in this particular episode is so true. Because I, like, growing up in the South and spending, like, my early 20s going out to the clubs with my friends, these are things that really be happening. Like, the whole waiting on drugs to hit. Like, that shit, like, everybody has a friend that can, like, make a song out of anything. And
were you the one that was singing it or rapping it? Because she sung it, and they was like, it looked at her.
Nah,
like,
I'm rapping. I'm rapping. I'm not
singing. Okay, cool.
But it was funny. Cool. But you have those moments where you got that one friend, which, first of all, having Shauna show up in this, like, dress, this wrap dress with the stockings, she was like, why you got them pantyhose on? Like, it's
dog,
so...
yo. She said you look like a pallbearer. I said, yo, that was ether on a...
And she was like, what do you do? Like,
I know me.
What do you do? She said...
I'm Shauna Hive.
Yeah, I know. Shauna Hive.
Listen, man, that woman can do zero wrong.
But when that girl said...
Zero.
When that girl told her, you got nonprofit vibes, I fucking...
Yeah, she said, what do you do? The funny shit about that was, she was like, it's okay if you don't remember me. And then she turned right around and was like, nice to meet you. And I was like, yo, she just smoked her. You know me. What you mean it's nice to meet me? What you talking about?
But it's like that's,
yeah, that was hilarious.
There's a lot of women from the South who are like this. Like, they have their way of, like, throwing shade, being funny. They don't really mean no harm, but that's just how cutthroat they can be. Like, very, like...
Absolutely.
Like, cutthroat with the
very
jokes.
Very to the point.
Yeah. And it's like, either you can take the jokes or you gonna take this shit, like, personally. Like, oh my God, they don't like me.
Right.
No, that's just how people be just, you know, clowning on each
that's
other. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's just what it is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
I really enjoyed this episode, but what I want to say to Shauna, leave Maurice, your coworker, the fuck alone. Okay, leave him alone, girl.
Please do, because I'm hating, by the way, too. I don't have nothing productive to say about, like, why she should. You probably do. I'm just strictly hating. I'm admitting that openly. Like,
I'm just thinking that maybe it was just the Molly, maybe the drugs hit, and then she see this guy that, you know, that's familiar to
her. She saw a familiar face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just what it was. Huh? But. Mm-hmm. Both of y'all niggas can't be out here seducing and scheming. Both of y'all out here scamming. Like, we can't. Like, your man is in New York in law school. Hold that down.
He's a bird, too.
He a bird.
Am I hating? He a bird.
Maybe,
he's a bird,
but,
too.
I mean, when she kept calling and trying to reach out.
I'm so glad you kept it tall with me. You said maybe, but.
Maybe. Because I'm trying to figure out what's going on with him, because she was trying to reach out to him all day. And he's like, oh, I've been in the library. We
and
didn't
she
have
was
service.
Like, nigga, you was in the library.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you back.
I'm sorry. It's 2022. Most places that you go is going to have Wi-Fi. You connect that phone to Wi-Fi and you text. Fuck out of here.
And nigga, what you doing in the library that long? Like, fuck is you doing?
No.
A book report? Like, what you got going on in the library that long? Nigga's not going to the library that long, bro. Like, what are you doing?
It ain't looking too good.
Yeah, what are you? You're lying, man. Come up with a better lot than that or something, my nigga. Say you was in a fucking, fight or something, a Madden tournament or some shit, like a rap battle, nigga. Some hard shit, nigga. It was in the library, like
fuck out of here.
Yeah, there you go. Ooh, look at the synergy. Yeah, I like that, man. I love this shit.
Also, with Chastity's friends, I'm loving how we're getting to know who they are. Shout out to Dominique, who was on Insecure, who played Tasha. I'm so glad that we get to see more of her. She is hilarious. Yeah. She's pretty much the videographer of the entire moment where they end up getting their song played in the club. But
that was amazing.
Incredible.
Because it made you feel like you were in the club.
Yes. Yep.
Like, that shit, the whole way it was shot, that was great.
Incredible
cinematography. That might have been my favorite. That might have been my favorite scene from the entire episode, mm-hmm. like visually. It was never mind. My favorite scene visually was when Shonda did the wardrobe change and she was that's the one. But, you know. Yeah, but it's all good.
But
you know.
Real quick before we move on to our main topic, mm-hmm. did you realize what was happening in the club while Shonda was in the bathroom changing? Or maybe she was sitting on the couch too. But that girl had a plan B delivered to her in the club. And she had her...
Damn, I might have missed that.
You might have missed this. So, look, I need you to go back to when they get to their little section by the restroom.
Yeah.
A guy comes with a bottle of water. She is, like, video FaceTiming whoever, somebody on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
She puts the pill in her mouth, drinks it, and then hangs up on the phone call, on the video call. Mm. Like, whoever was on this call needed to see video proof that she took a Plan B pill.
She popped the plan. Yeah. Okay.
I was like, I honestly had to rewind it, but I was just like, this is real shit.
Damn.
I know that this is happening. Like, I know that there are women, because this is the girl who was like, oh, I don't mess with broke guys and I'm allergic to broke men, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. She's dealing with a certain level of man where she's out here low key, you know, fucking for money or whatever he's doing. He's taking care of her in some capacity. But it's like, we out here having unprotected sex. He shot the club up, so now I got to take this Plan B and show proof.
I'm a huge advocate of unprotected sex. Responsibly. I know that sounded kind of wild, but yeah.
No condom gang out here. Okay. I see you.
Hey, listen, man.
Speaking of.
Let's talk.
You know, for the main topic, you sent a text of a tweet that I thought was really interesting. And I'm like, yo, we need to talk about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to read this tweet.
Okay.
And this young lady says, I don't get why men even bother getting married. They're so flaccid. No opinion, not fully engaged with things, not in charge of shit and don't want to be, don't know anything about the kids, the house, etc. Just stay by yourself.
I think my first thought was, you answered your own question of why men get married. The question you should have been asking was why women get married, if that's what they're marrying into.
Exactly.
For me, that was the first thing that popped out. Like, exactly. Yeah, this is exactly why. Like,
so, like, there are some women who want to be a wife so bad, they want to have a husband so bad, that they will marry anybody that is just...
They'll take whatever that comes with.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, you know... They flashing their ring on social media. And this has happened with, like, a couple of friends of mine. They get married. And I know her and her husband, right? Instead of saying, oh, like, just for example, Patrick is her husband's name. Let's just say his name is Patrick.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh, yeah, me and Patrick going out to the thing. It's like, oh, me and my husband, we're going to the... And it's like...
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you just... I know Patrick. Just say Patrick. Like, you ain't got to be like, my husband. Yeah. Like, girl, I
say
know
Pat.
You're married.
You ain't got to say Patrick. Just say
I
Pat,
know Pat.
Man.
I know Pete. What's up? Yeah. Like, you know?
I know Pat.
But there are some women who just want to be married so bad that they don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, their husband, as long as he goes to work and comes home and he's not out here running the streets, they are fine with that.
100%, yeah.
But not 100%. Me. And I'm going to be real. I can't relate to this at all. I've never really been with a guy who is just like, I'm just here. No.
Well, just there, but I think immediately, you know, after my initial, like, assessment of it, I went to, okay, let's say, hypothetically, you have a guy who's, quote unquote, just there, but he's the money, right?
Hmm.
Like, you might have your own money, you might be doing okay, but he's doing so good that whether you're there or not, he's going to be okay. You guys invent, you know, you guys are together. He's doing his thing, you his lady, you handling the house and all that. He make the money. He, you know, come play with the kids and all, you know, whatever, right? Because historically, I think, like, that's kind of the way that dads have been presented in society is like, yeah, dad gonna come home. He gonna, you know, chop the tree down and need to get chopped down. And he gonna do this and run the kids through the house and shit. Mom gonna take care of the helping with the homework and the parent-teacher conference and, the, you know, this, that, and the third. So I think that some men have it in their head that as long as I provide, I don't really have to do much more.
Yeah.
And whether or not that's a viable way to live, I think that's just kind of been ingrained in men for a while. It's like, I make the money. what else do you need? You know what I mean? Like, you even see it depicted in movies and shows and shit where it's like, you got the rich husband who's never there. He's like, I make the money.
Yeah.
So what's the, you know what I mean? Like, what you tripping for? So I guess my thing is like, how do you feel about like that dynamic? You know what I mean? Not even for you, but just overall, like the dynamic of like a man feeling like, if I bought the bacon home, what else I got to do?
Well, a lot of women out here, that's what they want. They want the financial security. And it's like, as long as that's provided, I can take care of everything else. Like, you know,
yeah, see?
But
yeah.
It really comes down to communication and realizing, like, before you get into a relationship or a marriage, you need to know, like, what are our roles here? What are we doing? If you out here busting your ass from sun up to sundown and you want to come home and just fucking have a hot meal and the kids be calmed down and ready for bed and shit, like, you need to know this before you get into a situation, before some resentment happens. You need to know who you dealing with before you sitting up in a situation that you can't get out of, like, damn, this nigga don't do nothing. Like, I gotta hold everything down. And it's like, well, I thought that's what you
everything.
Wanted.
See, and that's where the lines get blurred, because I don't think a lot of men understand the little damage they're doing to the kids by not being that involved. Because when you don't know their teachers, you don't know their friends, you don't know anything about them beyond like, oh yeah, daddy can come take you to the mall, daddy can come do like whatever, right? But you're there all the time.
Yeah.
They don't have a relationship with you. So when they get older, it's like they don't know you. They realize they don't even know you. Y'all don't have no inside jokes. Y'all don't have no nothing.
Right.
Y'all don't have no memories. They don't have any reference points of like, oh, remember that teacher that you had that had the, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, you don't know. So I think that comes with, that's a trial and error thing, because like you said, some women only want that. Some women only want a man who's financially stable.
Yep.
He got all the money in the world. He just has no interest in like doing these things. Now, let me say this. Because I think this was more directed towards, like, you know, a man who doesn't want to, like, call the maintenance people to come fix this, or, like, you know, call this place to see about the bill and this, that, and the third. I'm not really the biggest fan of, like, getting on the phone with like, customer service and shit like that. So if my lady can do that for me, cool. I don't, like, need her to do it, but if it's some shit that we got and, you know, she's like, yeah, I'll call,
right.
like, whatever,
yeah.
cool. I just don't like it. If I had to do it, I would. Now, there are some men who can't do anything on their own. Fortunately, I'm not one of them. My mom raised me up from a young age and said, you got to know how to cook. You got to know how to provide for yourself and all that, because regardless of whether you got a woman or not, there's going to be, what you going to do when she ain't there? Or what you going to do if y'all break up? What you going to do? Like, you got to be able to, you know, be self-sustainable. Like, you have to.
You know.
So that was always instilled in me when I was young.
I was in a relationship, and I'm going to be real. I think my son's dad, you know, he brought home the bacon, and I took care of pretty much everything else. I was like the house manager. Especially once Prince was born, I took care of everything. He would pretty much just like, give me the money, and I make sure everything was straight. I also cooked and cleaned and made sure I was on point and on par. And I was cool with that until I realized, like, maybe this isn't too sustainable for me. I think it honestly is a learning process. You may not know what you really, really want. Like, you can say, oh, I want a man just to provide financially and I can take care of everything else, until you're in the middle of taking care of everything else.
Until you get it.
And you're like,
yeah.
oh, shit.
Yeah.
This nigga don't be doing
that.
Like, I really
At
have to
point,
do everything.
It's too late.
And it's like, this is what you signed up for. But I do want to say something to the point of her saying, like, you know, she doesn't get why men even bother getting married. I mean, I know why men most of the time get married. It's honestly
100%.
Self-preservation. And I've talked about this before. Men live longer when they are married. The life expectancy goes up when you are a married man.
You start eating vegetables with your meals.
You're drinking
like
water. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you just got just a steak and then a side of like fucking Hennessy. Now you purse that with broccoli and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Something like that, maybe. You know what I mean? Also, if she got the fucking kung fu grip on that motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Yo, where you gonna go? I'm just being 100 about this shit. Like, I'm just being real.
The kung fu grip.
Where you gonna go when her shit, you know what I'm saying? When she got the fucking black belt with the fucking with the joint, you know what I'm saying? Like,
with the what? Let's hear that again.
Yeah. with the fucking, you know what I mean? With the fucking ancient tiger claw grip with the, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
With them, you know? So it's like that. Like, but like I said, man, it's I get it. Like, it's certain shit that I don't want to do. Like, I'll just tell you, my dynamic in my household is tell me, like, what needs to get paid when? And then, like, if you need me to pace, like, to put in the info, cool. But if you do it, that works for me perfectly. I don't like doing shit like that. I just don't like it. I can do it if I have to.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. So the reason why we work is a yin and a yang, where it's like, she doesn't mind getting on the phone and being like, yo, what's this about?
Yeah.
Me, I don't like having those conversations. So the trade-off is, cool. Mm-hmm. You can, yeah, pay that. Here you go. But just, you know, because it's all one pool of money. I don't ever look at anything like my money, your money. It's all of this is ours. Whatever you make, whatever I make, it's all ours. This is us.
Yeah.
You feel me? Yeah, it's like it's us. So I look at it like that. Like, it's just certain shit. Like, if you need me to go do something, handle something, I'll do that as well. But some shit I just would rather not do. And if you can do that for me, then that would be greatly appreciated. But I don't need you to, like,
yeah.
I'm not out the loop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know what's going on family-wise. And I think a lot of men don't know. So I think that's what she was speaking to more so than, like, those of us who are in the know. It's not us.
Yeah.
It's, you know, she's talking about those who is for, you know.
Yeah, it's really definitely this whole topic of, like, men just not being involved. That just really comes down to a whole conversation. Like, how do you marry someone you really don't know, like, what you're, like, you guys never have a conversation about how things are going to go on a day-to-day basis, on a week-to-week basis, a monthly basis? Like, do you not plan ahead for anything? Or are you just ready to walk down the aisle and post your pictures on social media about being in a relationship and being married? Like, what are we doing here?
Because you're
going
to be taken care financially sound and shit like that. So, again, like, on both sides, there needs to be some level of conversation about, like, where the expectations are. Like, okay, cool, you got the money, but what else do you bring to the table?
You know
what I'm saying?
And I have, like, friends who are, like, money. You know, I love my husband. He's great. The only thing is, like, he's not romantic. Like, he doesn't, you know, remember our anniversary. I have to remind him. Or he doesn't really care, you know, for public displays of affection or posting us on social media. But it's like, I know this about him, but he's so great in other areas that it really doesn't even matter at the end of the day. That's just who he is. Like, they are aware of their husband's strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, for sure. And if the good outweighs the bad, I don't mean outweighs it like there's nine good things and one bad thing. Like, the nine good things are like, oh yeah, he's here, he's there, he's the parents, he's the company. And then, like, the one bad thing is like, yeah, he kills animals in his spare time. It's like, bro, come on, that's a lot.
You know what?
That shit kind of weighs more than the nine good things. I'm sorry, I gotta get him out of here for that. So it's not about, like, there being more good things than bad things. Do the good things really outweigh the bad? Or are there just more good things than bad things?
And does
if it's
it
two
work
bad
for
things
you?
And them shits is heavy. Yeah, if it doesn't, if you don't actually feel like this is fulfilling for you, but you know that you're getting taken care of in this area, you gotta weigh those. Which one do you care about more? Because I think that's why a lot of people get passes, because if I only care about the way that, like, my lady has sex with me, why would I get to judge her for not being attentive or doing the other shit when the reason why I have her is because of this right here? That's not her fault. It's my fault for letting this happen.
That's
really
it.
That's what it is. Like, it's not the, so for me, it's not the dudes. I'm not letting, like, niggas off the hook for not being that way. But I'm just saying, if you don't have to be that way, if the coach pull you off the bench and say, yo, bro, I need you to shoot corner threes. Coach, you can't get on me for not stopping this nigga from over here from scoring. Like, you ain't put me in the game for that. You put me in the game to hit corner threes. So know my role and let me know my role. Let's have an agreement before I get out here so you don't start expecting more shit than I can deliver, because that's when we're going to have a problem. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of people are, like, afraid of having these conversations because they feel like, if I can't provide something for a person, or if I have an issue with this particular thing, this person is not going to want to be with me. And it's like, but this is who you really are, and you're afraid of losing someone for being yourself. Then is this someone that you should even be with? Is this someone that you want to marry that you can't really be yourself and you can't have these uncomfortable conversations with? No.
There you go.
You got to, like, you got to cut the shit from the beginning. You got to find these things out early. Have these uncomfortable conversations. It's okay. Because a lot of women say, you know, you can't talk about marriage too soon because it's going to, like, scare the man away. Really?
Well, then that's not the one you need to do. And the same thing for dudes. Like, oh, nah, man, talk about this with her and she. Well, then, bro, you just like how she look. You don't like her then.
Yep.
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
You can like how somebody look and not really like who they are. It happens all the time.
Yes, it does. But yeah, that was a dope topic. But I think also you just learn a lot with trial and error.
Absolutely. That's why we are here to help every Tuesday and Thursday. The society. We coming at you with gems, with fucking life advice, music recommendations, show recommendations, my hairline, all type of shit. Like, we got mad shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just is what it is. You know, we out here on Twitter. You know, like I told y'all before, we on, you know, at Slick Sports, SLIC Sports.
That's right.
The Society Pod. Instagram at Slick, SLIC, and The Society Podcast. What you laughing at, B?
No, because I'm here for the hairline. So you're right. You're absolutely right.
Hey, man. We in the building, man. This motherfucker. You know what I mean?
That's right. Look, if you guys have not watched Rap Shit, catch up on it this
Please
weekend.
Please tune in.
All right? Because on Thursdays, we talking about it. All right? Yeah. Until next week, have a great weekend, guys. We out.
We out.